Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time for your New England Nightly News. And before we get to it, I just wanted to read a text from the 508 that came up, and it says, you all sound so bleepy on a Tuesday talking about how you wanted some other quarterback two drafts ago. The only reason why I bring that up, and I agree, it's not exactly, you know, hindsight radio no one really likes. But I will say this. I took a lot of crap for that, especially in this building. You remember how Adam Jones and Rich Keefe reacted the day after the Patriots drafted Drake May? Adam Jones, the Dark Knight, was in here with confetti guns, him and Keith belly bopping like it was Smurlus and the Big O back in the day. You know, it was, people were pumped. I remember Shyman here. I think he did a backflip the night they drafted Drake May. There was a lot of Drake May love in this building, and I was one of the few dissenting voices, if maybe the only dissenting voice. Jones, Mego, everybody. I mean, everybody loved the guy. Loved him. Wanted him. Thought anybody who didn't want him was an idiot. And I'm not taking a victory lap yet because I don't think that the story is written on Drake May, and it's certainly not concluded, okay? But I will, in a situation like this, point out that at the time, I was worried about the environment that you would be dropping a kid like Drake May into. It didn't even really have that much to do with Drake May, period. There were other quarterbacks that I liked better than him, but I assumed that any quarterback that they drafted that year would have struggled here because this is not a good place for a quarterback to come play, especially not a young one or really of any age, if you want to put it that way, unless you're the greatest quarterback who ever lived, in which case things worked out great. But other than that, it's been a house of horrors here with this team and these young quarterbacks over the last half decade. And I am not going to shy away from the fact that this was a take that I had 2 years ago. I'm sorry. I don't have a lot of opportunities to say, yeah, I was right, or that it looks like I'm going to be right. Even that is a pretty big one for me. And that's where we are. So that's why I brought it up. So shut up, 508. Anyway, time for the New England Nightly News, which begins with the preliminary mayoral election. Which happened, or is still happening. No, I guess a half hour, the polls closed. So we might be getting some returns, as a matter of fact. I'll let you know what the early returns are. I can tell you that the most recent polling, which was on September 5th, not even a week ago, had Wu up by about 50 points. I think it was 72% to 22% of the vote. I may be off by a little bit, but I think that's around where it was. Looking at this right now. Now, this is just the primary results, okay? So the top two are the ones who go on to the actual election. And there's Robert Cappucci, and unfortunately the other fellow's name escapes me, the other guy who's running. Saw a lot of signs today on my drive over here. It's funny, as the further, like, I drive up from Dedham, right? So I go through Hyde Park, I go through West Roxbury, I go through Roslindale, you know, I go through all these places when I go the back way anyway, to get up here and all these sort of towns. And it eventually becomes Boston. You see all the signs. Where I live is not Boston, but as soon as you cross into Hyde Park, you're in Boston. And then the signs are just everywhere. And I'm looking around, and the further inland you go, like on the outskirts, out in West Roxbury and all that, a lot more Josh Kraft stuff, a lot more, you know, other names and signs. And this is just what I observed. And as you go further and further into the city, it just, woo, just dominates after that. And that's kind of the results that we're getting here so far. The results have already, I think, determined that Wu and Kraft are going to advance to the general election. Michelle Wu, according to NBC, took 65% of the vote to Josh Kraft's 30%, Robert Cappucci, 3%, and I would guess that means the other guy there had about 2%. I've met Josh Kraft a couple of times. And I think he's a very good guy, and I actually think he'd be a pretty good mayor. I heard him this morning on the Greg Hill Show. I think he's a bright guy. I really think that some of the stuff that he's done in charge of the Kraft Foundation and all of the charity and stuff that they do, I think is really, really admirable, and I think that he's a good face of all of that. And I think he's smart and articulate and I think has some good ideas for the city. But he has no chance of winning. I mean, there's no chance. And about a week ago, he fired most of his staff and is bringing in a whole new staff. So now that it's just him and Wu, the incumbent, and the incumbent wins in Boston every single year since the 40s, basically. Since my dad was born, the incumbent mayor continues to win re-election. I mean, that's just the way it works in the city. And especially when you have a popular mayor like Wu. Now, the people who don't like Wu really don't like her. But she's very popular, and I feel like I have to explain that to people when I talk about anything local politics related here, because there's just so many people who don't like her, but they're not really in the city, you know? Like, as I said, on the outskirts, the West Roxbury's and et cetera, you know, you get a little bit more of that, but as you go further in, she has a pretty solid stronghold, or foothold, I should say, on the electorate. And, you know, I don't know. I heard Kraft this morning. And I thought he was fine. I didn't think it was his best hit he's ever done. I think he's had better hits even with Greg Hill. I thought he was a little low energy this morning. I thought he took a while to sort of get to his...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Points, he was like, here's the three reasons why I'm different from Michelle Wu. And then he sort of got to him, but it took a while to get through all three of them. It was like, you know, it wasn't his most high energy appearance. And I think that as you get into an election day, you're going to want to be a little bit more. You want to pump people up a little bit more, especially in the morning on a sports show if you're doing that. And I know the Hillman keeps saying, like, well, we keep inviting Wu and she keeps saying no. And it's like, yeah, she doesn't really need to do any shows. Like, she doesn't really need to do anything. She just needs to basically not piss everyone off that likes her right now. You know, there's a lot of people who don't like her, but the people who do like her in the city anyway outnumber them. So that's the way it's going to be. And I still think now, even with this whole thing going on with ICE and the big surge going on in Boston and Massachusetts right now, as long as she continues to resist that and she fights back and pushes back against that, that's going to work for her in this race, because people aren't going to like that. You know, I don't think that people are really into the idea of having all this extra... And they haven't sent the National Guard in like that or anything like they're doing in Chicago and they did in D.C. But it's a reason why they're doing that in the blue states, in my opinion. You know, the red states are the one who voted for it, but they're not actually sending the troops there because no one actually wants that. No one wants an occupied city or an occupied state with the army in there. You want them, you know, going after the people you don't like. So the red states voted for them to send them into the blue states. And that's what's going on right now, in my uneducated opinion. But either way, if Wu keeps pushing back against that, that's going to be popular around here. And she's been doing that, so I think she's going to cruise to a victory here. I am interested in seeing what Kraft's new team comes up with, if it's going to get real ugly. I don't think it can get real ugly because they're both Democrats. You know, they can snipe at each other, I suppose, but fundamentally, I think that they're not going to really disagree on the big stuff. You know, like, Kraft isn't going to be like, yeah, Tom Homan, yeah, ICE. Like, you know, like, he's not going to do that. So I think that, in general, you're going to see probably a pretty easy win here.
Kraft down by 30 and firing his staff sounds just about right, Arcan.
Kind of does, right? And then there's this. Whoever the new mayor is going to have to do something about this city's nightlife problem.
Boston is a hub for innovation, history, and sports, but ask people about our nightlife, and it could be a short conversation. That, though, may be changing. Not long after the city announced late-night food trucks, it's introducing free late-night trains and buses.
Okay. I like this idea. It's a good idea, but it doesn't address the fundamental problem with the nightlife in Boston, and that's that the bars kick you out at 12:45 at night. That's the problem. Yeah, it'd be nicer if the T ran later, but if the T runs later, then they're still kicking you out at 12:30. Then what's the difference? It's like, you know, I don't really see how that matters. I guess if you're going to house parties, but Thomas, your generation doesn't even have house parties anymore. No one has house parties. It's all about the bars, and if you're going out to the bars, great. But if the bars aren't staying open any later, then what difference does it make if they're having buses and or whatever it is, shuttles and trolleys and all this stuff? It's nice that they're doing it and keeping them open later. And it sounds like they may even be doing it for free. Did I hear that? Either way, that's fine. I mean, that's great. I think that's a good initiative and a smart thing to do. It's better for safety, keeps people off the roads. All of that's fine. But if you're really trying to make the nightlife better, you got to extend last call. That's the only way to do it. And I'm not saying it's got to be like New York where people are, you know, leaving the bar at 5:30 in the morning, but it has to be beyond what it is now, I think. I mean, doesn't it? Like, isn't that the crux of the problem? And right now they say, well, we can't push last call any further because if you do, then the train's going to be shut down and no one can go anywhere. And that's kind of true. But also the law is that you have to have everybody out of here by this time. And that has nothing to do with the train and the tea and everything else. That's just, you know, the Massachusetts drinking laws, which we have a whole bunch of these. No happy hour, and you got to be done by 1:30, and that's it. I mean, those are the two main things. You know, like, back in the 80s and the 70s, people here were crazy. I mean, they were just, you know, a lot of drunk driving, a lot of problems, and so they made all these restrictive laws. And in some cases, you can say that they make sense and that they should keep them and that they should be the way that people go about it. But if you're really trying to spruce up the nightlife here and make it something other than what it is right now, then you gotta extend how late these places can stay open. That's the only way to do it. And you should keep all these things, too, with the transportation. I mean, obviously keep that, too. But that's not going to keep people out later. What's going to keep them out later is if they have somewhere to be. Like, it's nice that they can get home, but if they have nowhere to be, who's going to be using this thing in the first place? If they're all leaving by 12:45, why keep it going until 3, 4 in the morning if no one's out at that point? That's the problem. So there you go. There's your New England Nightly News. Get a little political here tonight. I told you, it's my last full show of, I think, the entire month. I know some of you are probably thinking, thank God. I don't have to hear your liberal weenie crap anymore. Yeah, fine. Good for you. But that's it. I mean, this is the last one for, I think, until October. And assuming the Red Sox are playing in October, it could be even longer than that. So I had to get my blazing hot political takes out there. I hope you all enjoyed them. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here. Red Sox are playing. We got some Red Sox takes to get to as well. It's all coming up next here on the Christian Arcan Show.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.